talk with the mic in front of me because some brothers have requested they don't hear my voice. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Hatta idha adrakahu al-gharq qala amantu annahu la ilaha illa alladhi amanat bihi banu Israila wa ana minal muslimin. So alhamdulillah, we have been discussing various aspects of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudrat and his power. And again, today's tafsir, you will notice in the Taraweeh, there was a lot of mention made of the Banu Israel and Musa alayhi salam and the sihr and all the rest of that. There are loads and loads of information. We will never end till Qiyamah day if we have to tell you about that. And that is the nature of the Quran. We can just carry on talking about the meanings, and Allah Ta'ala just brings more and more things to our knowledge and to our attention, and it increases our iman in the Quran. So we know that when the Battle of Badr took place, and before that, well, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah. As Muslims, people of Iman and people of Tawheed, they underwent great amount of difficulty. The first lesson we learned from there is that whenever people will follow the Haqq, there will always be opposition. This has been the history of mankind. Even before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find the same thing happen. People of Haqq, people of Tawheed, people of Iman, they were always opposed by the people of Kuffar, the people of Shirk. And there was always this struggle that went on all the time. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, likewise, when he was in the days of Makkah, like we mentioned a few times already, there was no easy ride there. It was always difficulty. They were always, you know, persecuting him or his followers, opposing. And they did everything. We know the history, the seerah is in front of us. They, you know, exiled them to the gorge for 3 years. And they made a whole lot of conditions against them. That is what happened. Now, obviously, the same thing happened to Musa alayhi salam. And that is why Allah Ta'ala mentions the story of Musa alayhi salam to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mentioned in the previous tafsir, the reason for mentioning this is, number one, to give us lessons that if you're on Haqq, you're going to expect difficulty. Number two is to tell Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that what you went through, the previous Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam also went through. So Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam made one dua. One dua he made, فَقَالُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ تَوَكَّلْ فَقَالُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. Upon Allah Ta'ala, we place our trust. رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Oh Allah, do not make us a fitna, a test for the oppressive people, from the oppressive people. وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ, and save us through your mercy, in a قوم الكافرين, from the kuffar nation. This is a very powerful dua. The ulama have mentioned that in whichever place you are, and if you find you are being oppressed as a mu'min, as a believer, and this is happening in a lot of countries at the moment, you know, even in Europe, in France, and in Palestine, and even in India now it's happening all the time. So when that happens, this is a very powerful dua. It's in the 11th para. Alhamdulillah, in our country, Allah's lakh shukr, that we don't have that kind of opposition from our government. They've given us freedom of religion and everything, alhamdulillah, is easy going. So we are not at any point in time stopped from practicing our deen. In other places, not only the government, but they send mobs and they send gangs to come and trouble the Muslimin. So this is the dua. The second thing is Musa alayhi salam got so fed up. He made one dua. He says, رَبَّنَا اطْمِسْ عَلَىٰ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Oh Allah, destroyed their wealth. There's Firon people. There are a whole lot of them. Destroy their wealth. وَشْدُدْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, and harden their hearts. Now imagine the Nabi of Allah who sent for the guidance of people. He gets so fed up that he says, Allah, harden their hearts, فَلَا يُؤْمِنُوا, so that they don't bring iman. In other words, these people, they're so bad, they don't deserve any kind of mercy. They must be destroyed in this world in the hereafter. حَتَّى يَرَوُ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ, so that they see the painful punishment. So this is the dua of a Nabi. But it was at that point, we can imagine how frustrated he must have got. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ قَدْ أُجِيبَتْ دَعْوَتُكُمَا. Your people's dua, you and Harun alayhi salam, your dua is accepted. We have accepted, right? So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, carry on with your thing, don't follow the wrong ways, and just carry on doing your thing. Then we find that the order came. Now we have done this tafsir, I think, the year before, I'm not exactly sure, how Musa alayhi salam and the Bani Israel had to escape, and how they crossed the Red Sea, and all the rest of that. And when they were crossing the Red Sea, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assisted the people of Iman. So the dua of the oppressed people does get accepted. We read a hadith now also, right? That Allah definitely listens to the dua of the oppressed. sooner or later Allah will answer it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to go, and so they went and they crossed the river, the sea. And when they were inside the sea, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let them cross, and Fir'aun was right behind them. He was right behind them. They saw the waves, the sea in front of them. They saw Fir'aun at the back there. That Allah ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam, no, knock your staff, your stick into the sea, and then the path opened up and they all went across. Fir'aun was so confident, he told his people, don't worry, man, I did it. We saw them out just now. It's me, I made the sea go like that. Just let's follow. And when Musa alayhi salam and them crossed on the other side, there's a beautiful history on that night, no time to go into that, where they came out and all that. But then Allah Ta'ala causes the ocean to again go back to its normal, and there's a time when Fir'aun drowned. So when he started drowning, there's nobody around there, but he started making, you know, reading the kalima. But in his own words, he says, "Amantu annahu la ilaha illa alladhi amanat bihi banu Israel." I bring iman on that deity, on that God, who the Bani Israel used to bring iman on. In other words, Allah. But he didn't have the tawfiq of even saying Allah, because he said, "I am Allah." So now he just said that deity, whoever he is. Now his eyes opened up. That, hey, this is the reality. So he says, "I bring iman. I believe in that Rabb, that deity, who the Bani Israel believe in." Now, you know, he was so oppressive to the Bani Israel. He troubled them because they believed in Allah. But look how Allah Ta'ala brought him down in 1 second. That same Bani Israel who he was oppressing, he's now saying, "Oh, I accept what you accepted." That's how Allah Ta'ala brings down tyrants and oppressors. Just remember that. The second thing is, وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. The word Muslim, he said, "I'm a Muslim now. I accept. I submit. Whatever you people say, whatever Allah says, whatever Musa alayhi salam says, I'm okay with all of those things. I believe it." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Now, الْآنَ وَقَدْ أَصَيْتَ قَبْلُ." Now you bring iman. So this brings us to the point that iman, at that point, when the veils are lifted, you see now, it wasn't just that he was drowning, but now he saw the reality. Sometimes a person is still, you know, drowning, he's still not dying. He's still in this world. But now if your own saw the reality. So Allah says, "Al-ana wa qad asayta qabla wa kunta min al-mufsidin." Then Allah Ta'ala caused him to drown. And then Allah spoke to him, "Falyawma nunajjika bi badanika." Now we're going to salvage your body. Now this body was not just a body, it was the body in the armor. You know, Fir'aun, he was, obviously, he was a ruler, he was an emperor, so he was dressed. He was dressed in a manner like that behoves a ruler. So with all of those clothing of his, he was then pulled out of the ocean. By the ocean itself, Allah commanded this wave, "Just throw this fellow out from here." And when he fell there, now the people could see. So why? One was the Banu Israel was so overawed with this Fir'aun fellow that they couldn't even believe that he died. So Allah wanted to show them that, see, لَتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةً. He died, and now what happened to his body? So it is said the people of the Coptics who survived, they were so embarrassed and they were so shamed by this that they immediately took this body and they buried it in one of the graves there in Egypt. Quickly, because it was in a mess. And now Fir'aun was claiming to be God. He was claiming to own the whole world. He says, you know, all these rivers under Egypt and all of that belongs to me. But the day he was buried hurriedly to save himself embarrassment and to save the people of the Coptics embarrassment, he was buried without anything, basically. He was buried with zero. You know, when these pharaohs used to die, the kings, then at that time, it wasn't just a burial. Other day, this other fellow died in UK. That one fellow, I don't know who was it, the queen's husband. Nothing is gone, right? But what a procession they have for all these kind of funerals, state funeral and whatever. So that is how they used to give. That's why when they find these tombs in Egypt, till now they find tombs. They find that guy is buried there, whoever the pharaoh is, with so much of wealth and so much of things. You know, he's buried with so many things in these tombs. They call them catacombs or whatever. So that is, Fir'aun didn't get that. He was just buried somewhere and rushed. Now there is another thing also. A lot of people live with that Egypt, and you get a picture also. They say that there is one place where all the bodies are mummified. And somebody, they say that this is the body of Ramesses II. They say this is Fir'aun. But that is disputed, actually. I don't know who said it is. It's not definite, because if he was buried and put away, then where did the body come back again in the museum from? So he's not too sure about that. So if you see it, just don't believe it. Just say, yeah, it's possible. Maybe just to make it a tourist attraction, whatever it is. you know, it's a nice way to draw people towards it. So this is the body or the mummy of Ramesses II. So in any case, there's the other thing. Then we come to the aspect of Iman at the time of death. So as long as a person is in this worldly life and he recites the kalima, alhamdulillah, he passes away on Iman. Now what after, this is what important must say, what if after his eyes are now closed, like, you know, he's still got breath in him and he's seeing the other life, right? He's seeing the other life and he utters kufr at that time. So what do the ulama say about that? See, Fir'aun, he saw the other life, he recited kalima, Allah says not accepted. So in the same way, the ulama have mentioned, if once you see the afterlife, and in that moment, if a person utters something that's inappropriate, that's okay, that's not a problem. Allah is not going to take him to task, because anything after your soul comes by your throat, which is called halat-e ghar-ghara, where it comes by the throat, after that, when you start seeing the other life, whether you bring iman or whether you accept kufr, it's not going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the principle. But nevertheless, coming back to this, that we must always make dua, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep us on iman, and it mustn't happen at the time of our death, just before, you know, we say something that is not correct. And there are a lot of people who said they were regarded as great buzrugs and that. They said ugly things, but it is mentioned that it was said after they saw that, the other life. So in that state, even shaitan can lead you astray. So anytime before that, shaitan, you know, say till your death, shaitan can come and tell you say things. That's why always you make dua, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must give us husnul khatima, give us a good death, and Allah must save us.